Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller. For the next hour, we are going to have a fun and educational and spirited conversation with my VIP special guest star, Patty Spangler. Patty has been a guest on the show before last year during the promotion of her award-winning documentary called Trucker Patty. We'll ask her about that. But really, I wanted to bring on somebody who is just near and dear to my heart and just a really fun person to know and an outspoken advocate for LGBT, but especially transgendered rights, and somebody who I trust to give us the straight scoop. But before we get to that, I want to tell everybody a big thank you for all the nice words that are coming across on Facebook tonight. I finished my album that I've been posting about for the last forever, and it's now off to getting the powers that be to get mastered and then off to the label, and then it gets distributed on June 5th. But I want to send a big shout-out to everybody for the nice words you're sharing tonight. If you would like to call in and ask Trucker Patty a question, and I just need to call her Patty. I'm just so used to that because that was the name she gave when she'd call into Sirius OutQ and call into the various shows, and I'm used to calling her that. So it's just going to be Patty tonight. But if you'd like to ask Patty a question, the phone lines are open for the next hour at 323-657-1493. I've also got the Blog Talk chat room open. If you want to send a question in that way, you're welcome to do so as well. And without further ado, Patty Spangler, welcome back to Rated G Radio. How are you, my dear?
I am awesome, Garrett. Thank you so much for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here. It's been way too long since we've had a chance to visit, and you have had quite the incredible year since Outfest last June?
Yes, it was. It seems like it was just yesterday in some respects.
Doesn't it?
In other respects, it seems like it was a long time ago. It's been an interesting year for me in many ways. I've had some ups and I've had some downs, and I'm still working through some things. But more importantly, you know, I'm still alive and kicking.
I love that. So because we're going to talk about all the cool stuff that's happening out in our community today. But let's talk about you because, again, I haven't had a chance to catch up with you for a hot minute. So what are some of the you know, good things and bad things that have been happening to you in the last year?
Well,
and I hear a little barking back there, too. I think you've got maybe a new addition to the family.
Gidget and Gizmo, for some reason, whenever I get on the phone, think they need to make their presence known, so let me apologize for them ahead of time. The first thing that really happened was I was forced to retire from truck driving. I've been battling with fibromyalgia for many years and a bad back, and things finally caught up with me, and there was just no way for me to continue working. And so this last year, you know, after being a truck driver for most of 25 years, trying to define myself as a person, this last year has been quite the challenge. The advocacy work that I've been doing for the intersex and transgender community, it has been very, very helpful and therapeutic to help me feel like I still have something productive that I can do. You know, this whole getting into being an advocate thing was something totally new to me. You know, it's not something I ever thought that I would be doing, that I had even a clue how to get into it. And, you know, I've tried to use social media, and I've blundered, and I've had some successes. And the biggest thing that I want people to know about me is that, you know, first and foremost, is I want to do whatever I can to help. I have a story that I believe is kind of unique in the fact that I am both intersex and transgendered. I went through my transition in the late 70s. I had my gender-affirming surgery in San Francisco in 1982. I went stealth for over 25 years where nobody, including my two husbands, other than my family, knew about my past. And then I came back out after I started listening to OutQ. And, you know, most people have heard transition stories, and, you know, we all know who the wonderful, glamorous, outspoken actresses like Laverne Cox and Candace Kane and Andrea James and Calpurnia Adams, you know, who are doing absolutely wonderful things for the community. But I don't think there's anybody that has been out there that is quite like me or has had the experiences that I've had. And a lot of that is due to the fact that when I did go through my transition, you know, there was no place to go to be safe.
Right. Well, and, you know, there's not only that, the times were a little bit different. It wasn't like you could go and, you know, pull up on the internet, okay, I'd like to go to talk to somebody about this, or I wonder about this, or what else is going on. The resources just weren't the same as they are today.
Well, and part of it, too, is some of the psychological team that I had to deal with before my surgery was approved, and it had to be approved both by the surgeon who did the surgery as well as my insurance company that at that time paid for the surgery, which not too long after that, insurance companies stopped doing that. And I was basically told that because it was obvious that I would be able to pass with no problems, that if I wanted to have a normal life, which was all I ever really wanted, was that I had to keep my past a secret. And, I mean, it sounded like a good idea at the time. I mean, you know, to be accepted as a woman, it was just the most wonderful thing. I mean, I went through some horror going through my transition. There was one point where I was beaten and raped. And when I went to the hospital, they were absolutely wonderful to me until they discovered I had a penis. And then it was like somebody flipped a light switch, and I was basically booted out the door without the police taking a report, and I was told that I was going to live. And that was the treatment that I got. And then it wasn't even 3 months later that I'm walking to my car from work, and I get picked up by a New Orleans Police Department sergeant, made to get into the car and then taken to a secluded spot, and I was sexually assaulted by him with absolutely no recourse. And, you know, and this was something that that trans women had to go through in those days. And, you know, so with being told that, you know, that because I should have no trouble passing, you know, I didn't want anybody to know that that stuff had happened to me because, you know, as far as I was concerned, if anybody knew anything like that about me, I would be damaged goods and nobody would want me. But I think the moral of the whole story was for the next 25 years, I felt like damaged goods. And I didn't have quality of life. I became extremely controlling because I was just terrified that somebody would find out my secret. And it affected every relationship I had. It affected my ability to finish college. It affected my ability in jobs. It's one of the reasons I eventually got into truck driving, was because it was a place where I didn't have to be around a lot of people and I didn't have to deal with it.
So did you have a maybe an aha moment or a defining moment where, you know, you realized that you needed to either get help or, you know, share your story with the people that were in your life?
Well, one of the things that happened was I had a bit of a nervous breakdown after my second marriage broke up in 2000, and my mother made me go to therapy. And for the very first time in my life, I went to a therapist that I was completely honest with. And we did work through some of my issues, and I was diagnosed with PTSD. And I learned quite a few tools on how to deal with it. But still, you know, it's something that I still struggle with every single day. You know, I'm really a people person. I love being around people, and as everybody knows, I love to talk. But what a lot of people don't understand about me is that many times I isolate myself for long periods of time because I just need to have that place to where I don't have to worry about anything. And I hate that about myself. I would like to be more out there in the community advocating. And, you know, that and the fact that I am now on disability and a fixed income, you know, things like that keep me from being able to go out and do more because I don't ever want somebody to have to go through what I went through. And the lack of awareness and understanding about trans people is, you know, it's not good. And it's not any one group's problem or the cause of it. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, so many feel like they have to do what I did and go stealth because people are not going to understand them. I kind of laugh at how naive I was when I first came back into the LGBT community when I started listening to the shows on OutQ. And, you know, I was right there learning about all of the LGBT issues. I was driving through Laramie the day that they discovered Matthew Shepard on the fence.
Oh, my gosh.
And just through different things, and I made it my business to find out what was going on in the community, you know. I listened to Michelangelo Signorelli's show religiously, and, you know, some people like him, some people love him. You know, I'm a big fan, and he's a big reason as to why I've been able to blog in Huffington Post. So thank you, Mike, for that. You know, he was really instrumental. He's one of the editors at large. And so the fact that he has let me, you know, put myself out there and that they've printed some of the things that I've written, I'm really grateful for. But in my naivete, I just assumed that because I knew what was going on with the lesbian and the gays and gay marriage and a lot of the different fights that were going on, I just assumed that everybody knew what was going on with transgender issues too. And my first wake-up call that that was not the truth was several years ago when Joe Salmanese, who was at the head of HRC, proposed a non-trans inclusive ENDA. And Donna Rose, who was on the board at the time, a trans woman, quit in protest. And I was just horrified. You know, that I felt like that the trans community had been totally betrayed by HRC. And then several years later, when I went on my first Derek and Romaine cruise, and I met the most amazing group of people in the world, there were 30 gay men and lesbians that I went on this cruise with that could not have been more wonderful and supportive of me. But I discovered that most of them knew nothing about trans issues. And so I made it my business then I told every single one of them, ask me any question you want to know. I mean, every trans transition story is different. Different people go through different journeys. But I was more than willing to be 100% candid about my journey so that my new friends could be educated about trans issues. And so that was when I started my advocacy, because my thinking was, how in the world can we expect heterosexual people to understand the trans community if the gay and the lesbian community don't understand? And, you know, there are many reasons for that. You know, the HRC break was just one thing. A lot of it is that many people in the trans community, like me, tend to isolate themselves. They feel more comfortable with people who have similar experiences of their own. There have been some gay men that I know of that have been very vocal about the fact that they didn't feel like there should be a T in LGBT. And so many trans people, you know, who are already the most marginalized group of our community, you know, tended to go underground a little bit more because there just are no protections for us. You know, I'm so hoping that things go well in Washington and the rights for gays and lesbians federally to have their marriages recognized comes through, and then maybe everybody can start really pushing for a trans-inclusive ENDA, because the highest percentage of youth who are committing suicide and who are murdered are transgendered. And a lot of people don't know that. And, you know, the community as a whole needs to educate themselves on trans issues, because the greatest thing that I found out with this group of people on the 30 that went on the first cruise and the 100 that went on the second was that once they understood, once, you know, they listened to my story, I got nothing but love and unconditional support from these people. And I think given the chance for gays and lesbians to be more informed about what goes on, you know, what challenges transgender people face and what horrors and traumas they're still going through, that, you know, they're going to be right there to help us.
So let me ask you this, because, I mean, I have about 3 million questions, so this might be one of these times that we visit tonight, and then we need to bring you back in a later, maybe we make this a regular monthly, you know, segment or something, Patty, I don't know. But why do you think that, and I'm going to be honest, I don't, until I started hearing, you know, your voice on Sirius OutQ 106, and for anybody who's listening to the show tonight, you know, we're talking about OutQ. It's a station on Sirius XM satellite radio. Like all the stations, they end up changing all their numbers all the time. But currently it's on station 106, and it's fun talk radio. So not to give them a station plug, because I don't get paid for them to do any advertising. So I'm just telling you how it is. In the morning, there's Larry Flick. He's the music guy. Then in mid-morning, it's Frank DiCaro. He's arts and entertainment. You've got usually an hour show coming on around 11 hour time, Pacific time. And then, you know, it's Lance Bass in the afternoon. And then, you know, my favorite, I love them all, but my favorite show is Derek and Romaine, which is playing right now live on OutQ. So if you are part of the LGBT community or just looking for fun radio to listen to, that's talk radio, and they have lots of fascinating guests. And quite frankly, this show is modeled a little after, you know, each of those in its own way. Sirius XM OutQ 106 is the channel that you know, that Patty's referring to, and I listen to all the time as well, especially in the car. But I really, until you started calling in, Patty, and I was hearing your personality. You know, it's funny, each of the people that call in on a regular basis, like Paul in Massachusetts, and, you know, you have Trucker Jack, we had Trucker Patty, we had, you know, it's almost become their character extensions of the show. I really had no idea about anything having to do with the transgender community at all. So you're actually kind of my indoctrination to learning anything. And why do you think that it is such a taboo topic for pretty much every segment of our societies, whether, you know, you're LGB or heterosexual?
Two words, Garrett. understanding and awareness. It's, you know, that is so prevalent in moving forward in anything. You know, you think back to the days when people owned slaves. The rank and file population viewed African Americans as a form of animal because they did not have understanding and awareness about them. And the same thing is true with gay, lesbian, and bisexual. Until 1974, it was viewed as a mental illness because there was no understanding and awareness. And one of the big differences is that lesbians and gays have been able to assimilate into the community. And because they don't change their appearance to be who they are, you know, it's not like they stand out unless they choose to be extremely flamboyant. Where with transgender people, and, you know, I am so fortunate in the fact that I am intersex as well as transgendered. I was born with Klinefelter syndrome, which basically means whereas men have an XY chromosome, women have two X chromosomes. I was born XXY. And what that did for me was, number one, it gave me a very small penis. Number two, very little facial or body hair. I have no Adam's apple. When I went through puberty, I developed breasts. And I was always very feminine in appearance. I never had to do anything to change my voice. It was harder for me to appear like a masculine male than it ever was for me to appear feminine. And so I was very fortunate when I made the transition. I had no problems. People just always assumed I was a woman. But that wow. is not the case with a lot of transgender people, and especially transgender people that, for whatever reason, don't transition until late in life. When you have somebody who's 50 or 60 years old, a very good example is Bruce Jenner. You know, he's 65 years old. He'll be 66 in October. You know, he's somebody that is always going to have trouble passing in society because he lived for so many years as a masculine male. And so when you have a group of people like that who know that they are putting themselves out there for scrutiny and ridicule by ignorant and insensitive people, they tend to click up and stay in their little groups and move in their little communities, and it's very hard for them to be trusting of other people, because if you just look what has happened in the last few years, the violence against transgender people, especially transgender women, is horrific. So why would anybody in their right mind want to put themselves out there and trust that people are going to treat them with love and compassion?
Well, you know, and you make a great point, because unless you're in a major city, and even that I don't even think is necessarily a safe haven for folks, but unless you're in a major city, if you're living in, you know, a rural community in the middle of America and are a trans person, I can't even imagine what a difficult life that must be like to want to, you know, and let's just assume, you know, you figure it out at an early age, whatever you want to say that is, whether 8, 9, 10, or 15, 16, 17, or 25, whatever that magic number is for you, how you even decide that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to be, or I am transgendered, I am not the sex that everybody thinks I am, I'm the opposite of that, and I've got to live my life. And, you know, to be able to, you know, take a stand like that, I think is just incredibly brave. But it's, I just don't, you know, unless you're in like New York or LA or something like that, I don't think that there's really the social acceptance out there as much as we would, you know, hope or like to think. But I think that's changing, and I think it's changing for the better, especially with a lot of the roles that we see, you know, different actors and actresses who are transgendered getting. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's just a really tough road for a lot of folks. I'm so impressed and just honored that you have, you know, are sharing your story. And I think one of the things that I really like that you're doing now, and I know that you, when you had the press with Trucker Patty, your award-winning documentary that was out last year, one of the things that I think that you, you know, it's kind of, because it was a new thing for you, Patty, is that you were saying, okay, well, I want my voice to be heard, and, you know, you put a little bit out here, and maybe the response was, you know, this or that, and might not have necessarily been what you wanted, and now you're writing for one of the most respected newspapers, online newspapers in the world, Huffington Post, and you've got a great article that's out right now called My Thoughts on the Diane Sawyer Interview with Bruce Jenner. So I want to talk more about that in the second part of the show tonight. But you are making a difference in such a huge way that, you know, if somebody would have asked you 5 years ago, would you be doing a blog or writing for the Huffington Post, you know, what would you have told them?
I would have told them that they were absolutely crazy. And, you know, writing is not my favorite thing in the world to do. I am an educated woman. I am intelligent. I know how to put a sentence together. But I don't feel like my writing style is that interesting. I get asked, like, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. Well, first of all, I don't enjoy writing. You know, I do it, you know, more out of a feeling of this is something I need to do rather than, you know, that when it comes to writing, I'm a natural storyteller. I do a lot better talking to people one-on-one or in small groups. For some reason, the thought of putting things down on paper just really, really intimidates me. But, you know, I have learned over the years, I have been through so much in my life that, you know, I don't get surprised by a whole lot of things. I was surprised by the response I got at OutFest last year. And I don't want to say
you were treated like a star.
Well, yeah, and it was a very surreal experience. And it was one of the reasons that I kind of hoped, well, you know, maybe some people will use me in some things. I can get a little bit better known. And the better known I am, the more people are going to listen to my life story. And that was always my intention, you know, when I asked for help looking for an agent or, you know, can somebody, you know, cast me in this or do something with me. It was never about, you know, wanting to be famous or making money or even anything like that. You know, the whole money thing is, you know, when you're on Social Security disability, you're only allowed to earn $1,000 a month or you lose your disability. So
wow.
for me, it was never about making money. I just wanted to get my face out there so that people who would know who I was, so that the more people who knew I was, that would be more people that would listen to my story and maybe tell other people. And, you know, the word of mouth gets going. And, you know, I know that there are some trans people, and I'm certainly not going to mention any names, that tend to get a little bit more in your face on the subject. And I don't blame them at all. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do things from a position of love, from a position of believing that once people are aware and understand that they're going to want to do the right thing, you know, and especially with my gay brothers and sisters, considering the fight that they've had to go through. And believe me, I've lived through that whole AIDS epidemic. You know, I indulged in risky sex. I had people I was very close to, many that died of AIDS. When I had my surgery in San Francisco in 1982, I got contacted by the hospital in 1985, and for a year I had to go every 2 months and be tested because I had a blood transfusion. So
oh my
I
gosh.
under understand a lot of the fight that my gay brothers and sisters have gone through. And, you know, I'm right there with them fighting the good fight. And I truly believe if they were more aware of the things that trans people have to go through, that they would be right there for us. But there just has not been a lot of chances for people to be educated. And that's the only reason I have ever wanted to get my face out there more or become more popular, is because, you know, once people know who you are, they're more willing to pay attention to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching Ellen earlier today, and they had the teens that were going to the prom. One was straight and one was gay, and they had them on just talking about their friendship over the years. And, you know, it was interesting to listen to the straight young man talk about the fact that, you know, well, here's this person who, you know, joined this particular group, and I was already in the group, and, you know, I heard he had a crush on me, and that kind of creeped me out a little bit, but, you know, I just said I was going to take a chance to get to know him, and I got to know him, and it's like, he's one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. And so it's like, yes, he's my best friend, and yeah, I love spending time with him, and I'm kind of paraphrasing the little bit of the interview that I saw, but it was funny because, you know, Ellen made the point, it's like, it's, you know, it's always scary and it's always weird and it's always not in my backyard until it is your backyard and until it is somebody that you know, you're going to school with or you work with or go to church with or, you know, meet at the park or whatever the case is. And then you get to know the person and you're like, oh, well, I like you, so I don't really care that, you know, you're X, Y, or Z. And I find that really interesting because I will honestly tell you that, you know, in my past, I've not been that open-minded and have not been open to a lot of things. And now I'm like, okay, I just, you know, people are cool. I just want to know who you are. What's your story? And so, you know, getting a chance to know you prior to, you know, the appearance at OutFest and hearing you on the radio and developing a friendship with you over Facebook and things like that, I love calling you a friend, and I'm just so impressed with the things that you're doing to raise awareness. And I guess one of the things that I would love for you to share sometime before the end of the hour tonight, you said, you know, to raise awareness about what transgender people are going through. You know, can you, and, you know, maybe list like the top five things or, you know, the top three things that would be really helpful for anybody who's listening to you tonight, Patty. What should people know, whatever their orientation, that transgender people are going through that really would be eye-opening?
Okay, one of the big things is the use of pronouns. When a person comes out as transgender, if a supposed male comes out that they are really female, they are no longer him or he. They're he or she. A person who is transitioning that still has to listen to the old pronouns and their old male name, it's like a slap in the face. That's really one of the big things. You know, one of the things that I wanted to point out, it gives me so much hope that trans people are able to come out younger and younger, because physically that's going to make their transition much easier, because the longer that you live in the wrong body, the more difficult the transition is. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is there are a couple of generations of trans people that are living out their instep because they came up in a time when it was not safe for them to be who they are. And eventually they're going to start having, they're going to age and they're going to start having health problems. And it's very difficult for a trans person to find a health professional that can deal with possibly might be unique conditions for them. Like, for example, you know, one of the things that my doctor told me was that because of the hormones that I took, it puts me at more risk for breast cancer. So I've been having regular mammograms since I was 35 years old. Because
wow.
of the high concentration of hormones that I took in my 20s, you know, I'm at greater risk for breast cancer. And that's just one thing. And I think the more that being trans becomes acceptable, the more that these people are going to finally feel free enough to do what I did and to come back out, because that in itself, I mean, it truly was like coming out back all over again. There were people that I'd known for over 20 years that didn't have a clue, and people that I thought that, you know, once I told them would never speak to me again. And in my situation, that was not the case. I didn't lose anybody. I had a lot of really surprised people in my life, but I didn't lose anybody. And I think for anybody that has true friends, that is probably going to be a similar experience, but it's still a very, very scary thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let me ask you that. You said that, you know, you had some people that were very surprised, but earlier when we first started talking tonight, you said that, you know, often you could, you know, pass for a girl more so sometimes than you could as a boy. So do you think that maybe there might have been a little bit of denial in those people's, you know, heads about their friend that they knew differently? Or, you know, what do you think about it was really kind of shocking for them?
Just the fact that I, you know, lived the first, you know, 20-some years of my life as a male. You know, that it just was nothing, it was not something that would have ever occurred to them. And it took a period of adjustment for some of them. You know, and it basically boiled down to, well, you know, I've known you all these years for who you are and I love you. And because of an accident of birth doesn't mean I'm going to stop loving you. And, you know, every situation is different. You know, it's like, for example, the area of the country that I live in, I'm careful about who I am open to because I live in the middle of redneck country. I live in Rolla, Missouri, which is a college town in the Ozarks, and there are a lot of, not really understanding people here, but all of my close friends and my neighbors all know, and they're all very supportive. I'm just careful about who I share my story with, and I think that that's something that needs to be true for every trans person that has been living stealth for a long time that is considering coming back out. Is the very first thing you have to be vigilant about is safety. Because, you know, we all know there are people that just are not going to understand.
Right,
and it's
right.
One of the things that I always suggest with young trans people. You know, you need to know that you're going to be safe before you come out. And if that means that you need to wait until you're of legal age and you can move to a community that is much more embracing, then that's what you need to do. But, you know, so much has been made, you know, well, we can talk about that more. I'll bring that up when we get into the whole Bruce Jenner thing. But just the whole thing about, you know, people who choose to not embrace that part of themselves and do, I mean, I married a woman when I was 21 trying to, you know, think that what I was going through was a phase, and because I loved this person, once I got married, it would all go away. And it was the worst thing I ever did to another human being in my life. And if I could take all the pain that I caused her away, I would. My ex-husbands, I don't feel so guilty about, because they were not good to me. Had they been good to me, maybe I might feel like I owe them apology, but you know, they were both liars and cheaters, and so I don't feel like I owe them anything. You know, some people might not understand that, but if you've ever been cheated on by someone,
oh, you know, yeah,
might be a little bit more forgiving.
Well, we've got about 20 minutes left. It's hard to believe that the time is flying by so quick. I want to remind everybody we've got Patty Spangler on the line. I lovingly still refer to you as Trucker Patty, and I met Trucker Patty by listening to Sirius OutQ XM 106, and she was a frequent guest caller on a lot of the shows, and had a fantastic documentary made about her last year called Trucker Betty, and her journey, and it has won awards throughout the country. She's also written a fantastic article that is on the Huffington Post right now, and it's the title of the article is My Thoughts on the Diane Sawyer Interview with Bruce Jenner. By the way, this show is being broadcast live in the United Kingdom right now on West Star Radio. So if you're driving home and are fascinated by Trucker Patty Spangler, as I am, and you want to go read this article on Huffington Post, you can do it by going to huffingtonpost.com. And the article is by Patty Spangler, and it's My Thoughts on Diane Sawyer's Interview with Bruce Jenner. And it's a great insight and read into who Patty is and what she thinks about the whole interview. So I will encourage you strongly to go and read that and give it a thumbs up, like it. And if you want to see more articles like that, make sure you leave your thoughts as well, because your comments create more content, which is always a good thing. Patty, can we switch gears for just a second? I do want to talk about the Bruce Jenner interview, but before we get to that, you've had a couple of really fun ups this year also. You were part of a really cool episode of a very popular TV show. Can you tell us how that all came about and what happened?
Well, I was on my way to San Francisco to the Transgender Film Festival. I want to give a real shout out to Bojai Jeannot and 5100 Films. His belief in me to make this documentary is amazing. He's an amazing man, and I would not be able to be doing what I'm doing without him first believing in me. So I want to give a huge shout out to Bojai Jeannot and to Elena Krause, the co-producer, and Charlize Torotani, the film editor, that did such an amazing job. It really, really opened some doors for me. But anyway, I was on my way out there, and I got contacted by Andrea James, and she told me about this casting call that had gone out, and I got a hold of them, and they invited me to come and be part of a transgender choir. And, you know, I got there and I thought, there might be 20 or 30 people, you know, that they're going to do this. And I was just floored when I got there. And there were trans people of every size, shape, age, gender, color, you name it, as far as the eye could see. I think the final count was 197.
Holy
and
cow.
We spent all day, and we had about 4 hours of rehearsal time getting things, and then we spent about 10 hours on those risers for a three-minute shot. But
isn't that
it
funny?
Was just the most amazing experience. The cast and crew could not have been more welcoming. I had a wonderful conversation with Dot Marie Jones. She's just an amazing, actress, and portrayed Coach Beast just absolutely wonderful. But it was just one of those experiences in life. I mean, it was not something that I, you know, had planned on, that I knew was going to happen. It just sort of happened, and I was already on my way to California, and I thought, well, what the heck, why don't I go do it? And it's gone down as one of the highlights of my life.
Oh, well, I purposefully snagged that picture of that episode for tonight's show banner, and I just absolutely am inspired by everybody who is a participant in that episode. So, did you get any like fan mail, or do you have any new admirers that have come out of the woodwork since then?
Oh, I've gained a few friends, but you know, there was so much going on that day, and the people who were trying to corral all of these, you know, people with very different personalities,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of kept us so busy and so focused that it just was not a day to do much networking. That was my biggest regret, was that I met a few people, but I didn't really get to do much networking because they kept us all very task-oriented that day. And it was such a long day, and I was so tired and in so much pain from standing for so long that, you know, but it was worth every minute of it. Just the fact that Ryan Murphy was willing to do that and to make that kind of statement in such a popular show. You know, I hope one day I actually get to meet him, because I'd like to give him a great big hug, because I think he's fantastic.
Well, I think that it is absolutely just groundbreaking that you were able to be part of this. And to say I knew you when, Patty, I mean, that's how I'm always going to remember that. Remember what that time when Patty was on Glee? Oh, my gosh, that was the best episode ever. But, yeah, you've done so much in the last year. Well, let's get down to the highly, highly viewed episode of the Diane Sawyer Show last week, I guess it was 2020 or whatever it was, but I was there, and Bruce Jenner came out and identified himself as a woman. And I think it caught the country by storm. I think that it was the highest rated show ABC's had in years, with about 18 million people tuning into the show. And it was a two-hour episode. Of course, tons of media hype building it up because of you know, the ratings weeks and all of that other stuff. But the fact of the matter is, I thought it was a very compelling interview. I have so many thoughts and ideas on this, Patty, but what did you think of the interview that Bruce did with Diane?
I was pleasantly surprised. My biggest fear as to the lead up with this was that it was going to wind up being, oh my God, another Keeping Up with the Kardashians trans
right.
version. And the fact that it was not that at all, the fact that Bruce brought up so many of the issues that I am so passionate about, especially when it comes to transgender youth, I was really, really happy that the interview went the way it is. And one thing I want to tell people, please, please, please do not make this political. Nobody cares that Bruce Jenner is a Republican. I think he is in for a rude awakening personally, you know, just the same way that all the Go Proud, you know, Republicans, you know, have been so badly dissed by the Republican Party that, you know, in a big mess anyway. So I just want to urge people, don't make this political. You know, being transitioning has nothing to do with politics. And everybody's journey is different. You know, Bruce Jenner could be the poster child for every trans woman over the age of 50 that waited until their children were grown before they finally could not stand it any longer. All those years they had of being distracted by life and raising kids and stuff like that, that somehow managed to allow them to corral their true selves. You know, but those are people that spent all those years living inauthentic life. Like I said, it's one of the reasons that, you know, awareness and understanding is so important, because the younger a trans person can come out, the more chance of living a successful, authentic life they have. You know, once you are over the age of 50, it just is so much different, because, you know, just biologically, it's so much more difficult. And, you know, I applaud anybody who finally decides they want to live an authentic life. And I don't believe anyone should be judged by when they decide to do that. And the other thing I want people to understand, because this is the question I get asked more than anything else, is that gender has nothing to do with sexual preference. Your gender identity has nothing to do with it. Just like there are biologically born people that are gay, bisexual, and lesbian, there are transgender people that are gay, bisexual, or lesbian. It's not rocket science. It's not a difficult concept. They are two completely different issues. And people who are so transphobic, that's the first thing that they latch onto that try to get everybody all confused. You know, how could a transgender woman want to be in love with another transgender woman? How could someone like Bruce Jenner, who is attracted to women, how could he be transgender because he's attracted to women? One has nothing to do with the other.
Now, Patty, we all know we need to put everybody in a box, and they have to fit nicely in it. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
I love you, Garrett.
But, you know, honestly, though, I mean, because that's something that, I mean, the fact is, I just want people to be happy. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, knock yourself out. But I will tell you, I don't understand that either. So when Diane Sawyer is asking Bruce, you know, do you still like women? Are you going to be gay? Or, what box can we put you in? Because none of this will make sense unless we can tell the viewers which box we're going to put you in. And we've got 8 minutes left. You know, I think that's a struggle that everybody has, is because, well, we need to categorize you in some way. If we can't categorize you in something that we can relate to, you're still an unknown, and therefore we have a harder time liking you, understanding you, having compassion for you, because we can't figure out what box to put you in.
It's not difficult. Once Bruce Jenner transitions to a woman and he becomes a woman, what do you call a woman who prefers having sex with women?
That would be a lesbian.
Okay. What do you call a transgender man who prefers to have sex with men?
A gay?
Exactly. What do you call someone
Patty, I figured this out. We need you to come up with some flashcards. This is going to be your ticket.
It's not difficult. That's what I'm saying. And
okay.
Transgender people are no different than biological people. Some of us are gay. Some of us are straight. Some of us are lesbian. Some of us are bisexual. We're no different than biological people.
Well, I think that one of the great things about you is that you just shoot straight from the hip and you really don't make apologies for, you know, anything. And I applaud you for that because I think you're very brave, you're very beautiful, and you are very outspoken. Given all of the new platforms that you have, like on Huffington Post, are you going to continue to do – let me ask you this, because I still think that your book needs to be written. Have you thought about just sitting down and, like, dictating it into, like, a tape recorder or onto your computer or something like that, and then giving it over to a quote-unquote writer and let them come up with a draft and then, you know, turn this into, like, a major motion picture and you make a gazillion dollars?
I've thought about a lot of different things. I think that I might be more motivated to do that if I actually had a ghostwriter who was interested. You know, I tend to, that's one of the things that adjusting to my new life and who I am and where I'm going. I've had some depression. I've had some motivation problems. It's just, and then dealing with chronic pain a lot too. Can bring you down a little bit. So I sort of need, sometimes a kick in the ass to get me motivated to do something. And so, if I had a ghostwriter that was interested, that would make me do something. It's just like, the casting director who I dealt with the Glee thing, I send her an email every month reminding her that I'm still here and if you want to cast me in something, that would be lovely.
Good for you. I love that.
That's kind of what I need. It was the whole thing, that I worked so well with Bo because Bo believed in me. I still have a lot of insecurities. I have lived a traumatized life in many, many ways. The fact that I'm not batshit crazy amazes me sometimes. So I do need motivation occasionally. I'm thinking about maybe putting a package together to send to some colleges and universities to see if they would be interested in seeing the film and having a question and answer with me afterwards. I'm also toying around with maybe doing an Ask Trucker Patty thing on YouTube, although I don't have a clue as to how YouTube works. I'm a bit techno-challenged. So I've got some ideas in the works.
I love that idea, though.
I just need a little bit of motivation and, you know, maybe somebody who
a little bit of help
might be willing to help me, because, you know, like I say, you know, I live here in the middle of Missouri in the Ozarks. You know, I live on a limited income, so I can't travel like I would want to. Optimally, it would be lovely if I could be in LA where everything is happening, and, you know, I could be available for a lot of things. But that is not the reality of my life.
Well,
you know,
I think go ahead. Sorry.
I don't want people to think I'm starving or I'm poor. I live in a nice place. I'm safe. You know, I have enough food to eat. And, you know, so I'm not looking to start a GoFundMe or something like
right.
that. I just need maybe some people that have some experience in these areas to believe in me and think that I am worth doing something with.
Well, I think you have quite an opportunity here, and I certainly hope there are people listening out there in the world tonight that might have a little bit of extra insight on ways to help Patty bring her story to the world, or just to be a resource. I love your YouTube idea, you know, where maybe you solicit questions from people, and then you have them on like cards, and you read the card and give an answer, and you can do a 3 or 4 minute video and put one out once a week or something like that. I think that would be spectacular. But
yeah,
I just have to
figure out how all that stuff works. But that is one of the ideas that I have, because I am an open book. I will answer any question anybody wants to ask me. I don't care how intimate it is. If they want to know how my vagina works, I don't care.
There you go. Well, on that note,
this is G Radio.
No,
maybe I should.
Well, the G is only for Garrett, because if my name was Zach, it would be Rated Z Radio. So there you go. But because it's online, but that's perfectly fine. Patty, we've come to the end of the show, though. So I think I want to thank you for being here. Is there any type of social media that you want to point people towards to stay in touch with you or to become friends with you and to get to know you better?
I'm on both Twitter and Facebook, Trucker Patty on Twitter and Trucker Patty or Patty Spangler on Facebook. You can Google Patty Spangler and some of my articles will come up. You can go to Huffington Post site and put in my search name and the articles I've written there will all come up. That's basically the best way to find me.
I love it. And so, number one, thank you for being on the show. Number two, I need to promote Friday's show. So, Patty, tomorrow night I've got Angelina Alexon from New Jersey who's going to be on the show promoting her new music. She's going to be sending it to me tonight, so I don't even know what we're going to play. Usually I have it in advance, but we were chatting online earlier today, so I'm excited to have her on. For everybody else, make sure you go and read Patty's article on the Huffington Post. There is a link on my show page that you can just click, and it pops right up. If you're listening from West Star Radio Network in the UK, I appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully this has opened your eyes, and hopefully you'll be able to make a new friend, and maybe you can fly her over to England and have her do a great symposium or something like that at one of the universities. That would be really, really cool.
Oh, Garrett, Trucker Patty's been shown in London and also in Australia.
See,
maybe
next time
we can talk about that.
Let's do that, because we've got a huge fan base in Australia and in the UK right now, so that's perfect. So we'll have to have you back for that. 90 seconds, any last words of wisdom that you want to impart on the listeners tonight?
Understanding and awareness, people. That's what we need. Our transgender youth are dying. They're living in the streets. They're forced to become sex workers. They deserve to live. Everybody deserves to be who they are and love who they love. Garrett, I love you to pieces. Most people don't realize this, but you are more beautiful on the inside than
you are on
the outside. And anytime you want me back, you just give me a call and I'm there, baby.
I'm so taking you up on that. I think this has been a great start. of a regular conversation that we should be doing on the show. So I would love to have you back. We can chat offline about that. Otherwise, we'll have a mutual admiration society that won't end this evening, and that won't be something that the show shuts off at 60 minutes. That's how it all works out. Real quick recap. Monday, we had DIP author Mark DePina from the Gold Coast of Sydney, Australia, on reciting poetry. Tuesday, we had comic John Cooperman. Yesterday, we had Stephen Michael Shear talking about his Patricia Neal and Unquiet Life. Today was Trucker Patty or Patty Spangler, and then tomorrow is Angelina Alexon. That is the show, folks. I hope you've had a great time. If you like the show, make sure to follow it on the Blog Talk, or you can also download it as an iTunes podcast. We're that hip and cool. Everybody have a great night. Don't drive distracted. We'll see you on
Friday. You've been listening to Rated G Radio.